Welcome to the So You Wanna Get Fat podcast. I am your host, not your typical chef, Brian Sow. And today with me, as always, is my ball of buttery French goodness, Frenchie.
Welcome back.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Aren't you happy to be home?
I am happy to be home. Let me just adjust this monitor here. Yeah,
there you go. Okay, I know what we're doing. I know what we're doing today. Yeah.
Before we go there, we're going to react to some more Just the Tip Jock just a little tip. Later.
So I talked to Asti, and she gave me the okay. So we're gonna build this arc.
Oh yes, we have an arc to build. But before we go there, let's talk about where we've been.
Nowhere special.
Well, yeah, we were just in LA, you know, eating sick ass hand rolls from an awesome sushi place, which I don't even remember.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah.
We were with Nigel.
Yes. We did a podcast with Nigel. Mm. Went very well. Was a lot of fun. Nigel's so much fun. That was your first time hanging out with him.
Yes.
I've hung out with him a couple times before that, but we invited
him. Doesn't it feel like we've been hanging with him the whole time now?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's that type of guy.
But I think, yeah, he is definitely that type of guy. Every time I hung out with him, it was always like that. But I think it also helped that we had lunch with him before the podcast, you know, broke the ice a little, you know.
But again, it still felt.
Yeah, felt natural.
Yeah. There was no awkwardness.
And it came out, the podcast episode came out surprisingly well, despite me fucking up the recording process. Two times? I think it was two times.
Really? I only noticed one.
Maybe it was just one. Maybe it was. No. I'm thinking three because my phone went off in the middle and you were like, strike two. So yeah, Nigel was great. Was good
but
to see him.
But guess what? It makes for great content and fun. The lights flickering on and off.
Yeah, it was natural. It was.
Everything that could stress you out happened.
You are absolutely right. Everything that could stress me out did happen.
That's the way you go. Like, you have to go in thinking everything's going to go wrong, but fuck it. We're plowing through.
Speaking of stress, you know, I'm so glad we made that trip. I also stayed in California a little longer than you went on a vacation and came back to New York. All my stresses were waiting for me, but getting away, going on vacation definitely helped because I feel great right now.
Like, batteries refreshed?
Yeah, batteries are refreshed, but also just being able to hang out with cool people, connecting with old friends. I spent a lot of time connecting with...
You mean I don't do that for you?
You do. If it wasn't for you blowing on my ember... You remember that part?
Yeah, I remember. I do.
Yes, I said my heart was black and you're like, and I'm there to blow on that ember. And then Nigel was... So if it wasn't for you,
he's got good timing.
He does have good timing. If it wasn't for you blowing on my ember, I probably would have completely burnt out. Yes. Yeah. No. But I met up with a lot of really cool, creative people, hung out with Brendan Small of Metalocalypse fame, Death Clock. He is someone I highly respect because he wears so many hats. He juggles so many things. He not only writes the show, produces the show, freaking writes all the music for it and all this stuff. It was nice to speak to other creative people.
Doesn't that show you it's possible?
100%.
So keep at it.
Well, I need that every now and then to get re-energized, go on vacation. You know, I tend to burn myself out and I constantly have to remind myself to take it easy and
take it easy.
So it was good. Very good. Was in a dark place, was in a funk, but I'm definitely pretty much out of it, feeling good. And you know,
the sun'll come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow. Come on. We needed that song because it fucking rained every fucking minute were in LA.
In LA, yes, it did rain every day.
Damn it.
Yeah. And we still walked in the rain to get tacos from truck.
I just wanted a fucking palm tree.
That was your first taco truck experience in LA.
In LA, yes.
Yeah. It was delicious.
Not my first taco truck.
Right. But first taco truck in LA.
Listen, the ones in Austin are comparable, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
Dude.
Yeah.
Food scene in Austin. That was my first
taco truck.
Yeah. Texas is our next stop. We're going to the Dallas area.
Yes.
Frenchie here wants to
make guns. Bigger guns.
Frenchie here wants to make a pit stop to Austin, which I'm like, oh, you know, I got that baby at home. You know,
I want to go to the comedy club. I want to go to the mothership.
I know you want to go to mothership. Yes.
I want to see Joe Rogan.
I just, you know, need to convince wifey that this is a...
This is a business trip. It is business.
Yes, 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 yes. Even though she looks at the bank account, it's like, I don't see you doing much of business, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you got to spend money to make money.
You got to spend money to make money.
Oh, man. But yes, shout out to Nigel. Thank you very much for coming on to the podcast. It was an absolute blast. He's a great guest. I would love to have him back on.
He'll be back on.
Yeah, he'll be back on. You know, I'm pretty sure when next time he's in New York.
Yes, but most of the time will not be on camera.
Yes, most, yes. Agreed. Agreed. All right. Well, a couple things to shout out before we move on with today's episode. Okey-dokey. Today is your last chance to pre-order the Handsome Thing tee. Frenchie,
oh, wait, the wrong t-shirt.
Well, Frenchie's got the first merch drop from our podcast, which, again, the reason why you need to be pre-ordering this stuff
is
you can't get that shirt anymore. This is the shirt you want now.
Oh, man, look at that Handsome Thing.
Restaurant was called Hansong Tang, and Frenchie here thought I was calling him Handsome Thing. But again, pre-order now. Once they are gone for good. As of filming
this. Shout out to my 10%.
Shout out to the 10% club. You know who you are. Ladies.
They got to pull their weight even more now.
So this Sunday, when this episode comes out, the last chance to pre-order will be the following Sunday. So our podcast comes out on Thursday. This episode will come out on the 14th. Pre-orders close on the 18th. Okay, so get your pre-orders in by the 18th to snag up one of these Handsome Thing tees. Thank you very much, you lovely people.
And while you're keying that keyboard, subscribe to our channel.
Oh my gosh, you did it all on your own. You got there all on your own.
Yes, I'm so proud of you. While you're there,
subscribe.
You want to get fat.
Leave
like,
a comment, like,
all that jazz.
Notification bell. I think this is the first time we've done it this early in the episode.
Well, it came to me naturally. Yes,
I love it.
That's a segue, right?
Learning.
Was that a segue?
That was a segue.
Oh, I'm getting to be the professional.
Oh, you're so professional. I can smell it. I can smell the professional.
No, that's my fart.
One last thing to shout out. My band, Lost Becomes, will be playing at the Meadows in Brooklyn May 3rd. It's going to be fun if you want to watch some heavy metal, want to see me rock out.
And guess what? Le Rivage is still at 340 West 46th Street
in the heart of New York, Hell's Kitchen. The last 5 minutes have been nothing
but plugging.
You're plugging shit we're trying to
sell.
Should
we plug Nigel? No, he doesn't need our plugs.
No, he doesn't need us. He didn't even post about the podcast.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay?
No, he's...
Do you feel something?
No, not at all. I texted him like, yo, dude, you know, the podcast is out. I sent him the thumbnails like in hopes he would
just in case.
Just in case. No. But I wasn't going to take it and I didn't take it personally.
No, don't.
You know, but I'm holding out hope by midnight tonight. Now, listen,
it's all good.
Nigel is already, he is a homie. He's a legit homie, but he did us a mass, you know.
And he's fucking super busy.
He's super fucking busy. Yeah.
Like we saw it. Like he was like, he made the time. So he did a lot of the time, but the time was like, you could tell that he was like, oh, I got to go.
Somewhere. Right, right. I mean, guys, so like we could have had the podcast going on for another hour.
It was that good.
But, you know, when I saw we were past the hour mark, I knew I had to cut it off. You know, Nigel's busy. He's got shit going on. Okay. So that
is. I mean, that's why we had to go there.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, we had to go there. So, buddy.
Tell me.
We have some clips to read.
We have good clips today. I know the first one already.
Well, here's the who's on the screen right now?
Jacques Torres. Just the tip. Just the tip Tuesday. On Tuesday, I only put in the tip.
So Jacques, amazing chocolatier chef. He's just an amazing chef.
Yes,
he is the living
incarnation of Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. But you know what I realized as I was pulling up these just the tips.
Mm-hmm.
The segment is called just a tip. So Jacques' segments are called
Tuesday tips,
and we've been calling it. Our segment is called just the tip, Jacques.
Just a tip, Jacques. Yeah. Just a tip, Jacques. Yeah. Just a tip, Jacques. Go easy. Go easy.
There's like three clips we missed.
No.
I didn't realize we missed that.
Are we going to get to do all of them back to back? We're going to do
all three back to back.
Good.
Okay.
Good,
so,
good.
So, yeah, Jacques Torres, we're calling you out, buddy. We're going to react to every single one of your tips.
Oh, and we're not going to be kind.
We're not going to be kind.
Definitely not.
So, this one is, well, let's let him say what it is.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Nigel just responded to me.
To what? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. To the text I sent him earlier.
Wait a second, but I'm like, what are we doing? You got me doing too many things.
No, yeah, there's too much going on. Jacques already got the tip right here to us. We got to keep going with the tip. We'll see what Nigel says later.
I don't hear him.
Okay.
Meet for Tuesday's tip. You need to whip some whipped cream, but you don't have a stand mixer. What do? Put a little bit of ice into a glass bowl like that. Leave it for a few minutes. Then when the bowl is cold,
yes,
dispose the ice. Then put the whip into your bowl.
Okay, so he's gonna make whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
He's tempering the bowl, so he's making it cold. When you say temper, it can mean you're warming something up or you're cooling something down.
I would have just put it in the freezer.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Actually, unless you can't fit that big bowl.
That is a big bowl.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Even in the fridge
too. Yeah. It's home cooking.
Either way, you wanna, if you're making whipped cream, you want the bowl to be cold. And what is the why? It's because heavy cream has a lot of fat, and the colder the fat is, the better it's going to hold on.
Oh,
to
yeah,
air.
It's going
to
solidify. And sorry, solidify. I didn't know you were.
Yeah, I was trying to get
my attention.
Yeah, trying to get you involved.
I'm just waiting you for
just
you to
trying
stop
to get
talking.
You and just so trying you to get you involved in the conversation. But you know, as always, you ignore me and just
okay. And he's the one who showed me like putting the whips, multiple whips together.
Yes, actually, I didn't know this technique. And I
oh,
was
you
like,
didn't? No. Oh, this is very yes. old technique.
But on the same token, I mean, I've barely whip by hand anymore. Always, you know, I barely.
Listen, this technique, you could get it whipped up almost faster than a mixer.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a little bit to do, yeah, you might as well do that.
Right. Then you don't have to bust out the mixer. Let's mm-hmm. watch.
You're gonna whisk faster the whipped cream going.
Tree whip.
So I usually use
tree whip.
Are we really gonna dig into Jacques?
Oh, I'm digging into him. You don't have to.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of him.
Yeah, well, I am. I don't know
that's
him
your
like
problem.
That. Yeah,
you could deal with it.
Okay, so he's using multiple whisks. The more bands there are on the whisk, the more air it can incorporate into the heavy cream. That's the why.
You see the whipped cream already double in volume. This is where I'm going to ask you to pay attention. This is
that's what she said.
So peak. You try to pull the whisk, and the peak. Doesn't
my peak stands.
Okay, soft peak. Now, if you keep going, hard peak. Okay. And if
butter.
You keep going,
butter.
Butter.
This is a real Frenchman. He has an accent. You know,
yes.
You're a pseudo Frenchman. You don't have.
Say that again?
You don't have the accent.
Come around to this side of the table and say that. No, come over here.
Just kidding. I'm fucking around. Ooh, them eyes, you know? Yeah. When Frenchie gets mad, his eyes like they look kind of like
pierce.
They look kind of like a great white. It's just like prey. He just looks at you. He just looks at you.
I
like
I've been
prey.
Told that yeah. like my eyes are very intimidating.
Yes, yes. Like he his eyes turn into great white eyes. Or like
I've made grown
piranha eyes.
I've made grown men cry.
Yes, and he just looks at you like a piece of meat. Like he's going to just chew you up and spit you out. Anyway, here's another Jacques. Just the tip, Jacques.
This is exciting yeah. because you bundled them up. Yeah. We've saved up.
Yeah. Just the tip, Jacques.
Just a tip, Jacques.
Something easy will be a crème brûlée. I'm going to elevate the crème brûlée and cook it with something called kaitaifi, which is
not puff pastry, phyllo dough.
I put my pot on top of a scale. And I will weigh.
Did that cream look curdled?
500 grams of cream, a little bit more than half.
Vanilla?
I'm going to add
well, it's normal
a little
for.
Bit of
it was
vanilla.
Lumpy.
Well, it's normal if you know the heavy
cream
super cold, and if the cream sits for a little while, there may be some fat
yeah.
that gathers at the top. That's normal.
So you see, you all notice that he's measuring in grams, which makes sense. It's by, you know, decimal points. Yeah. It's so much easier.
Yeah, it's in increments of 10. Yeah. It's much easier.
And you see how he weighs by weight. Mm-hmm. So you could have your bowl and on the scale, and you can add, you can do your ingredients, and you just keep adding by by tens.
Right.
And you're, it's actually so much easier. You don't have to measure anything. You could just pour into one bowl.
He
does his recipes by weight.
Yes, which is much more accurate.
Much more accurate.
Much more accurate.
Because baking and patisserie is a science.
Yeah.
It's more science than cooking.
100%. When you do by volume, so there's the trick question, right? What's a
teaspoon?
You know, what weighs more, a ton of feathers or a ton of bricks? Well, it's the
same.
It weighs the same. It's the weight is the same. So you can get a bag of sugar from one brand and a bag of sugar from another brand, put it into a cup, measure one cup, doesn't mean the weight's going to be same. So the sweetness level can actually be different.
Depending on the size of the granules of sugar.
Yep.
They're taking up more volume and air.
So I'll give you guys another example. I interviewed for a quality control position at some big like food producer. And one of the questions they had for me was, if we make this sauce and you need, you know, like you taste it, it doesn't taste right. What's one of the ways that you can check if it was made properly? And my answer was, the recipe should show how much weight yields from this recipe. And one of the first things I would do, because it's such a big batch, is weigh it. You know what it's supposed to weigh. And if you put it on the scale and it's off by a pound or you're missing something, then the question becomes like, okay, then what did we miss? Something like that. So
I love this dough. I'm going to use 4 yolks and about 70 grams of sugar. Half of the sugar with my yolk and the other half of the sugar into the cream. Now, mix the first sugar here until it is dissolved, and then we're going to mix everything here until it is nice and fluffy. You want the sugar to start melting into those yolks.
Banana.
Take a banana and...
Banana.
I like the way he says banana.
Of banana.
Just the chip, Jacques.
Just the chip of the banana.
I'm going to bake my creme brulee. Preheat my oven at 240 degrees, but it's a convection oven, so I don't need double boiler.
Wait, he said it's a convection oven, so he doesn't need a double boiler?
I didn't hear that.
No, that's what I heard just now. Let's keep watching.
Right now it's very hot. I'm going to put most of it into the yolk, mix it.
So he's tempering
there. Yeah, because he doesn't, why he's doing that? Because he doesn't want to shock it and break it. You don't want the eggs to break.
Right. So if he put all that egg into the pot with all that hot cream.
It would be overwhelming.
Yeah, it would it could potentially cook it.
Hot.
Yes. So he's tempering it. He put some hot.
There, we use that word tempering again.
Yes. It's hot into cold and then cold back into the mass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't have to heat the cream, but by doing that, cooking process going to be a little bit faster. To pour the cream over the banana, and it's certainly...
That's a big-ass creme brulee.
40 minutes to
Hell one. Yeah.
Kataifi is shredded filo dough. Easy. Take a piece of foil.
And Jacques, for a Tuesday tip, this is a pretty long big one, right? Tip.
I was like, okay, this is long-winded already.
Yeah, it's a big tip.
It's a big tip. It's a big tip.
He's giving us his big tip today.
Circle like that, and that's going to be the size of my layers.
I almost said cock ring.
So if you have
I just said it.
As well. Wait. Is Jacques' wife like showing him these segments that we're doing?
No, I don't think so.
She should.
Wow.
Let's try to draw them out, you know? Come on to the podcast.
No.
Like, look at these two clowns fucking...
fucking with you. These fucking clowns you.
But then he's going to watch these clips and be like, well, Paul, I understand, but who the fuck is that bah over there, you know? Bah.
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 Bah. Okay,
yes.
Inside Figure
joke.
It out.
Yeah. Inside joke between Frenchie and I.
Okay. This is a veggie wash, but I put butter in it. That's what it is. So I'm just going to spray my butter on top. Now I'm going to get a little bit of...
Wait, I know what he's doing.
I'm going to put that in the oven for about 10 to 15 minutes at about 400 degrees.
He's making his creme brulee shell
see,
separately.
If I move it, it moves a little bit. It's not
interesting.
Right?
Let's keep watching.
Liquid. Take it out and put it on the counter and let it cool down. The pastries came out of the oven. They caramelized, now they have that great flavor. I'm going to take one of those and I'm going to put it here on my plate on the center. And then I'm going to cut some strawberries. Put my creme brulee a little bit warm. You want to do that the day before. It's nicer when it's a little bit more firm than that. But that should work. So you put your creme brulee.
It's like a
he's doing a creme brulee Napoleon almost.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a deconstructed.
Yeah.
Well, not even deconstructed. It's but you know, typically creme brulee is in a ramekin.
Guess what, Jack? That's not a creme brulee.
Oh shit!
I'm calling them out.
Calling them out.
That's not a creme brulee.
Yeah. Oh snap!
It's not. Sorry. It's not.
Well, what does it say here? Banana. Yeah, he did call it banana creme brulee.
It's not a creme brulee.
Your creme brulee. That's on top. And here you go. You have a delicious dessert for Christmas, for Thanksgiving.
Enjoy,
and I hope that helped.
That was a big tip.
That was a big tip.
A very big tip. But we got another tip.
Got another tip?
Yes. You ready?
No, we can't take two tips at the same time, though.
No, we're actually going to take three tips today from Jacques. Taking three tips from Jacques.
Told you. Look at that black mixer.
We missed a few episodes. I like his voice.
It's a soothing, right?
Was he mean in the kitchen? Was he tough? Was he?
No.
No?
No.
Is he like this?
He's like this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess someone who like works around chocolate like that all day, I guess just mellows you out.
Yeah, well, you're on all that sweetness. It kind of, you know, absorbs into you.
Yeah. Or I would expect it to like tweak you out, you know?
No.
No? Too much sugar?
No. I was surrounded by chocolate all the time and goody desserts. I was the happiest.
I miss working in a pastry kitchen. That's where I started. I miss it a lot.
You get to work in an air-conditioned kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, you also get to work in air-conditioned.
You see, everybody else is sweating, and you're like, hey, guys, how you doing? And they're like, what? What?
And why does it need to be air-conditioned?
Because temperature control is of the most importance
with pastry.
With pastry. Yeah, oh, my God.
And even more so for chocolate.
Yes.
Way more so for chocolate.
You don't want chocolate to melt.
No. We don't like these.
And you don't want anything to sweat.
I have some cream that's going to be out of shelf life by tomorrow. So I'm going to make butter. So just put the cream.
Oh, that's a satin black. And then make that's a satin black mixer. Cream.
That's like a modern.
Yeah. That's sexy. I like that.
No, I like Guga's orange one.
To it. So the whipped cream now is about the same consistency than this one. So I'm going to add everything together. There is no sugar into my whipped cream. I'm going to keep whipping. So by now the cream is about pretty hard and stiff. After a few minutes, as you can see now, the cream is very
hard. In a minute?
In a minute?
It's over. Oh, it's a quickie. So wait, folks, you could add sugar in the beginning if you want sweet butter, and you could add salt, and I'll give you that extra friction too to make the butter.
Yep. So when you take cream and you continue to agitate it or whip it, all those free floating granules of fat submerged in the solution starts to bind together, and then that's why you get butter. So. And then you're left with butter and whey, which is the byproduct.
Creating from its moisture. You can hear the water splashing all around. And the butter is coming together. This is butter. Fresh butter. Press the butter like that.
On his video?
Yeah, that's on his video.
Remove the liquid. And you can put that.
Living in New York.
Container.
Living in New York, you're always going to get the sirens in the background.
So, because he said I was about to expire, you save it. So then people would say, well, is it going to expire anyway and turn into butter? No, because you're getting rid of the product that's going to expire.
Right.
The butter, the fat itself will hold much longer.
Well, that's why you can preserve things in fat.
Right.
Right, because...
So if you squeeze it, make sure you get all that water whey out, you know, and then you can technically even freeze it.
Yeah. 100%.
So you're good to go.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so bacteria needs three things to survive. Oxygen, a food source, and water. So you saw he got rid of the whey, the water, Yes, fat can be a food
and source. And poor decisions is another.
All right, so that's it. We're fully caught up on just the tip, Jacques.
Just the tip, Jacques.
But there is one more thing I want.
Just the tip, Jacques.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. Just the tip.
So there is one more Jacques clip I wanted to react to because I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay, this is a fourth?
Yeah, this is a fourth.
Is it the same
it's
thing?
It's not just the tip.
Yeah, what is it?
It's well, watch.
Did you find something from a long time ago?
No, it's actually from today.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, ooh, this is cool. This would be something cool to show everybody. Oh, actually, Jordan, you're definitely going to have to replace the audio for this.
Please. So I definitely get one of these every year.
Yeah, dude. I love, this is, the art of chocolate making is just so sick. That machine is so cool. So he's going to mount it onto this machine that keeps it
moving. So it's all the chocolate is going to solidify uniformly inside.
Yep.
You see me do that? What the hell was that? Oh, no. Wait, I'm going to float.
Like you're going to do a magic trick.
Like I'm a beauty queen.
Are you centered?
Yeah, I'm centered. Oh, okay. I am now. Yep. Yeah, I'm centered.
This is what I wanted to stop on.
Can we screenshot that?
Jordan, can you like zoom in on that face right there? Oh boy,
that's a little scary.
Yeah.
Wait, the teeth match. The teeth match.
You said it, not me. You said it, not me.
I could say it. I'm not afraid of him.
Okay. Oh man, that was good. Jacques Torres always makes me feel good. All right, buddy. Well, let's see what Nigel texted.
Okay.
He may be like, fuck off, fuck face.
No.
Okay. Just fine. Nigel says, oh, he said, halfway through it, pretty entertaining so far. Ha ha. I'll share it on my Insta later.
Yeah?
Oh.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. That's what he said. Yeah.
Oh.
Bit of ass.
He's redeemed himself.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully he doesn't watch this episode. And he's like, those motherfuckers.
Those ungrateful fucks.
Yeah, those. It's like, how'd they be expecting me to post about their little podcast? Anyway.
Thanks, but, buddy. You know. High tides raise all ships.
Indeed.
You know?
I do agree with that. Do agree with that.
Dead air. Dead air.
Well, one of the things Nigel brought up during the podcast was how I beat a dead horse with Cooking with Jack. We reacted to so many Jack clips. Well,
oh my God, that's what you're bringing up? No, you beat a dead horse with... Why? Hi, I'm Chef Branzow from Beepa.
Winner of V4V4.
Okay. No. And you know what another one is?
What?
Now, don't take it the wrong way, but you keep, like, every time there's an excuse, like, oh, well, we also have to work in a restaurant. And, like, you always bring up the restaurant, like, as, like, why we can't do shit.
Yeah. Well, that's factual.
Yeah. But in my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to take a drink every time he says that. It was like six times.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, August the Duck has brought to light this clip, which many people...
And how old is this?
Very old.
This clip is actually very old?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how come we didn't know about this before
I told you about it. Many people DM'd me this clip and I watched it. And that's why I never felt bad about reacting to him and basically shitting all over him. Because of this clip right here.
Okay.
And what that DM said was not an exaggeration. You're about to watch a clip from, I guess, what was supposed to be some weird, like, religious parental podcast, where Jack admits, amongst many other things, to trying to kill his son. I'm not joking, okay? I'll let you listen.
This is the key part here. We did a great job parenting. We didn't do the best job.
Wait, we did a great
one.
We
did a great job.
Good at the time. Yeah.
There's, you know, unfortunately with Jack already, right off the bat, there's a lack of education and already and discipline and on all fronts.
Yes.
The other side who, she's a totally sweet person, but was not strict at all. He had carte blanche. So every weekend it was carte blanche. And every Monday or Tuesday, we were hammering our kid, get him back into shape.
Right.
By the time Wednesday, Thursday rolls around, he's finally our child again. Friday comes, she picks him up. And
wait, is he talking about you, ex-wife or something?
Yeah. Okay, so it's hard to find August the Duck was going. So essentially, the assumption is, because they don't give the full background, this he's talking about his ex-wife or, you know, baby mama. And I'm assuming that his son lives with them, Jack, and whoever right. that lady is. And then on the weekends goes with his mom.
It was rough. And he starts, because he couldn't handle it. I was Mr. Strict Parent, and she just didn't do anything. And it just messed him up. And so he starts having rage issues. So we had to deal with that. And as he got into his teen years, he had a great home life. He had everything his heart desired. He never went without.
Okay, so I want you to really, really remember that this guy said his son had a good home life, great home life even. Okay,
if you have to say it,
forget that, all right?
I wanted him at age 13 to start his own company. We talked about it. We want to encourage him to start early. We don't want him just wasting money and blowing money. We want him to earn money and get excited about something. It's right. his. And so by the time he's 18, he would have it, something that's already substantial, right? So we got him into building computers. And having rage issues and...
Okay, so this is Jack's story. Up until this point, apparently Garrett started to puff on the Mary Jane, and it gives him rage issues, according to Jack, which I don't know if you guys have ever met a stoner. I have got lots of friends who enjoy the occasional puff, okay? Rage issues and pot don't really go together. I'm going to assume...
I do the weed every day. Right? I'm okay.
Yeah. It definitely calms you down.
It calms you down.
And like, if you have... martial artists and everything, they're big into weed because it just makes them mellow and like they're in it for the, you know, there's no rage and while they're, you know, practicing and because, you know, rage could go wrong. Road rage goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Rage goes wrong.
Yeah. But weed does not cause rage. Sorry. Devil's lettuce don't give you the rage. It's
devil's lettuce? Yeah,
devil's lettuce.
Oh, is that an old-timey?
That's an old-timey thing,
Holy shit.
Age issues were actually because of Garrett's home life. Obviously, I can't say that for certain, but I think it's a pretty good guess. Not because he was smoking weed. Now, we're about to get into the really, really heavy part of this. And I just want you guys...
Is that the
really
new wife? Is that the trophy wife?
Before going into this. Before you try and back him up and say that, oh, maybe he's right about his son. Maybe his son was really doing this. Maybe it was because of this or that. If this guy is willing to admit what he's about to admit... Not only to other people, but to the entire internet, to anybody who wanted to click on this video and admit it proudly. What kind of things do you think might have gone on behind closed doors? What kind of things is he not so proud
I agree.
To admit?
Mm-hmm.
What stuff could he be hiding about his parenting? Just a thought.
There were two times, once he put his hand on me, and it wasn't like he pushed me, but it was in an aggressive way. Mm-hmm. And I took him down to the ground. I threw him down to the ground. And then the second time, he put his hands on Tammy, pushed her up against the door, and I took him to the ground, and I was going to kill him. I was choking him out, and I hadn't fought since school. The only time you stop fighting in school is the principal's coming. But this was the moment I was choking him and screaming in his ears, "You don't ever touch a woman. You don't ever touch a woman." The top of my voice, I was choking him so hard, his nose started to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And
Now you know why I do not feel bad about reacting to this guy's shit. No comment, really?
It's
fucked up.
He's a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit. Now, there's other, I think this pretty much says it all. I'm going to finish that clip. But, you know, there's apparently this I can't say for sure, but allegedly
conscious of what he said here? How did he try to explain this away?
That I don't know.
Damn.
That I don't know. But before I get on to the next part of this, allegedly he's part of some Facebook groups or something like that where he says some very unsavory things teetering on the edge of genocide. So
wait, Jack?
Yeah, Jack. Yeah. So exactly what it is, I don't know. I haven't seen it for myself.
So
August the Duck.
So he's a piece of shit at home.
Yeah.
And outside the house.
But this drama gets so crazy because apparently somebody reached out to August the Duck's sister saying, if you don't take down this video, I'm going to dox you. Remember we covered doxing?
Right.
Where they reveal your personal information and where you live and shit?
Yes.
Yes. So somebody anonymously emailed his sister, I guess couldn't find his information, but contacted his sister and said, yeah, take down this video. Otherwise, I'm going to dox you. Now, no one can prove if it was Jack or not. Even August the Duck was saying it could be a crazy fan of Jack's who's just right. trying to come to his rescue. Nobody knows for sure. But that happened. And then a day later, apparently Jack, well, not apparently, factually, Jack responded and said, that was not me. I did not dox, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, this is getting pretty, pretty ugly.
So we don't need to waste another minute on Jack.
Or can we?
No. Well, now I'm just going to, if you show me a Jack video now, I'm just going to be just.
Debbie Downer?
Cruel.
Yeah. I just find it kind of crazy that this guy just keeps getting traction. You know, not necessarily good traction, but, you know how much I love August the Duck. So yeah. It's kind of cool that he brought this to light and showed people who Jack really is.
Right.
But the fact that there is somebody out there who's willing to dox August the Duck to get this video taken down, I mean, they clearly know that it's fucked up. But why would you say something like that on the internet?
That means he's okay with saying it. Just honestly, just tells me that he's done worse.
100%.
That if he's okay to admit to that,
yeah,
he's done worse. Yeah. I mean, you touched on that, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you touched on that.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
I said it already?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Now I'm repeating myself? Yes, oh, my God. The Alzheimer's really coming
that
in.
That or Jacques' tips really touched you hard.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is no good.
So to make things better, I prepared a Tom Segura clip.
Oh, I love me some Segura.
And I found this other one, which is like also like totally innocent. It's this young girl who does like dad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't rise and shine. I caffeinate and hope.
You want to the comments say under this? Awesome. Blow up my foreskin like a balloon.
Oh, look, 5,512 likes.
Yeah, hilarious. Fist me with both hands.
That's cool. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
I mean, but this poor girl, like, she is not like this at all, you know? What's with all the degenerate comments? This white girl literally does nothing. Pee on my meals, fart in my eyes. What is wrong with people?
Oh, my God. Dude.
People are ridiculous on the internet, though. They are ridiculous.
There's too much liberty to people are brave behind a screen.
Oh yeah.
On a keyboard.
Yes, they
like
are.
I said, it's like if they said 10% of this shit to your face, they'd be knocked the fuck out.
Oh, 100%.
That needs to come back. More people need to get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. Some people need to lose their teeth.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought this was a kind of a cool thing. This is I guess we can't count this as the not so current news, but it just popped up on my Instagram feed. I thought it was cool. It's on the page. Wealth. It's never too late to start a business.
Okey-doke.
Right. So some interesting facts. Colonel Sanders started KFC at 62 years old.
And how long did it take to become successful monetarily?
Well, that's a good question.
Because if he started at 62, it wasn't as successful at 62.
Right. Yeah. That is 100% factual. But the fact that Great legacy. But
when you're dead, you're dead.
Sam Walton, Walmart, 44. Started Walmart at 44.
Okay.
Ray Kroc, McDonald's.
Ooh, asshole.
He is a bit of an asshole, but he's, you know, he got into it at 52.
Yeah, he robbed it.
He did rob it. I guess it's never too late to rob something, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adidas.
Aren't you a fan of Adidas, Brian?
I am a fan.
Look at your creator.
Are you
a fan favorite of Adolf?
Jesus Christ, his name is Adolf. Well, let's move on to the next one. Christian Dior, 41.
Yeah, I don't think I'm a big fan of Christian. I think during World War II that I have some issues with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not 100%. Oh, another piece of shit. Look at this guy.
Henry Ford.
Yes. 40.
So
Henry Ford was definitely on Team Germany.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Fucking, yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, now you're making me not want to see the rest of these because I'm like, oh, isn't this inspiring?
Am I ruining all of them
for
you?
You're totally ruining it because I'm like, isn't this very, this, you know, I'm going to be 40 soon and yeah, it's never too late to build a successful company. And now you're like, Adolf, and you like Adidas. Oh, this guy totally supports.
I like Adidas too. When I was a kid, I used to be so proud that of that I thought that it meant all day I dream about sex.
Well, that's a Korn song.
Yeah.
The band Korn.
Is that about Adidas?
I don't
Adidas?
Know if that's where it came out. No, but the song is called Adidas.
Well, what year is Korn?
Late 90s.
Yeah, I knew. I said that before.
Oh, okay. All right.
Red Bull, that was your...
No. I had to stop looking at that clip. I was afraid who we were going to see
next. Go back.
No, I already
Let me ruin everybody for
right,
you.
You want to ruin everybody?
Yeah.
Let's ruin everybody. Let's check this out. So we have Henry.
Fort.
All right.
Red Bull.
Chalio. I don't know how to pronounce that. He started Red Bull at 53. Holy
good
shit.
Good for him.
All right, good for him. Very, very... Nice dark hair there. I don't know. That must be a dye job. Bernard Marcus, Home Depot, 49.
Did he start out as one of the greeters?
Maybe. So, guys, there you go. It's never too late to be a piece of shit and start a company when you're old as fuck. I guess I'm
steal someone's business.
Or steal someone's business. I guess I'm halfway there. I am a piece of shit. So
why?
Because I keep showing you Jack content.
No. We're not making money. We're not a business.
Oh, yeah.
So you have nothing to worry about.
Oh, man.
I'll let you know.
you'll keep me in check if we
make money, then you there'll be more allowances.
Okay. Okie dokie. Wendy's is under fire recently.
Tell me why.
Wendy's, the burger chain. How do you like Wendy's?
I haven't been in a long... Last time I went to Wendy's, they had a salad buffet.
Wow, that is a long time ago. Holy shit.
With a fixings bar.
A fixings bar, yes.
A fixings bar.
Fixings bar.
Fixings bar.
yeah, I haven't had Wendy's for a long time either, but they...
I even remember the location of it.
Oh, really? Where is it?
Kingston, New York. Upstate New York.
Oh, okay. And they had the fixings bar.
They had a fixings bar.
So... Wendy's is under fire right now because they want to start using dynamic pricing on their menus.
What does that mean?
So you know how Uber charges a little more when it rains?
Oh, your surge pricing?
Yes. Yes.
Good luck with that.
So let's watch this.
Because every place there's a Wendy's, there's like 20 options right next to it.
Yes.
So good luck with that.
Let's watch this clip from CBS Evening News.
In tonight's Money Watch, the price of a burger and fries could be going up, depending on what time of day it is. That's right. Fast food giant Wendy's says it will introduce surge pricing in 2025 during its busiest hours. Well, it's getting a frosty reception as CBS is doing.
No shit, Sherlock.
Companies are squeezing consumers.
Tonight, food is taking a bigger bite out of shoppers' incomes, the most in three decades. And be prepared to shell out more.
You'll never guess what we're doing to the Baconator.
Wendy's announced it'll start testing dynamic pricing on digital menu boards next year, a form of surge pricing like Uber and Lyft. Artificial intelligence will...
Let me tell you what's not going to happen. That this is not going to happen.
Well, there's more. Let's keep watching.
Determine whether to raise prices based on demand, location, and time. Wendy says, for example, it might suggest a cool frosty on a warm summer day. This will allow us to be more nimble and flexible with pricing.
Why introduce this when customers can easily just go somewhere else?
Clearly, the company is trying to find ways to boost its share price and improve its profit margins, but it could come at the expense of losing some faithful customers. Cereal!
Beyond the burgers, Kellogg is also under fire after its CEO suggested consumers struggling with inflation could eat cereal for dinner.
If you think about the cost of cereal.
CEO of Kellogg's said to battle food inflation or inflation in general, eat cereal for dinner. How fucking out of touch is that?
I mean,
that
I've
shit?
Done that a million times.
But many of us do it very gladly. I can tell you my favorite food in the world is a bowl of cereal.
But dinner substitute? No.
No. But how out of touch is that? How many millions of dollars does that CEO make to fucking
Motherfucker.
His fucking kids aren't like having cereal for dinner.
They're not eating that product. I can tell you that because he knows what goes into Kellogg's. It's banned in like in Japan and in France.
No shit.
Yeah. Frosted Flakes is banned. That's a big no-no.
Mm-mm. No bueno.
For a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable.
Backlash online was swift.
This fool making $4 million bucks a year. You think he's feeding his kids cereal for dinner?
That's where I got that line from. Dude. I did watch this clip earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell because cereal prices have surged more than 25% compared to pre-pandemic.
Well, it rings a little bit like the French Revolution. Let them eat cereal. And it does sort of...
Oh, fuck.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah. Let them eat cake.
Oh.
I mean, which is not true. Yeah, it was made up. But that's famous French Revolution, you know, mythology is let them eat cake, as Marie Antoinette said that.
I did not know
before
that.
They chopped off her head.
Her head.
Off with her head.
Not read the room very well. Families are really struggling to afford bringing food to the table to feed everyone at the table. And now they're suggesting cereal for dinner. It just seems like he's missing the point.
Yeah. Oh, dude, is he like, how do you become the CEO and be so wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Well, that clip came out like 3 days ago.
Right.
Well, guess what? Wendy's had a comment to make.
Let me see.
That's dynamic pricing.
Dynamic pricing.
That's what they're calling it. This would change the price of menu items.
Shout out to Vlad Dudier. He actually did a segment on Mission Sandwich Social when we opened.
Who?
Vlad, the guy who, the CBS host.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that guy?
Yeah. He came to the shop. We played some guitar, you know?
Oh, yeah? He's a musician?
Yeah. He's good. It's actually pretty good.
Was he slapping the bass to your guitar?
What was that?
Was he slapping the bass to your guitar?
Slapping the bass.
No. Slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass.
Depending on demand, after a lot of backlash from folks, the fast food chain said its intention is only to lower
bullshit. Merde.
I'm sorry.
Now that they say this, they have to follow through?
Probably. Or cancel the program entirely.
Yeah, they're going to cancel the
whole
thing.
They're going to cancel.
They're not going to.
They
never go backwards.
Yeah.
They never go backwards.
No, they're totally going to backtrack on it. It's not going to work. And also, I always felt that, lower pricing during slower times, it helps, but it doesn't at the same time. Like, yes, happy hour is pretty normal, right? The idea is, you charge a little cheaper during the slow times. But at the end of the day, most people are working at those times. So there's only a limited pool of people that can actually take advantage of it. So I've never been a huge proponent of heavily discounting something for the sake of trying to get customers.
Yeah.
I don't think
it works. You're just creating more labor to create for evening out.
I never found it worth it. Like, you're just undercutting
yourself.
Because
if you're going to be that busy that you're going to make money, then put the real price on.
Exactly.
No.
Not to say I don't like taking advantage of a happy hour deal and stuff like that. I don't dislike those things, but from a business
usually
perspective,
usually the happy hour is particular items. Right. Then it's a way of getting you there, and then you'll eat other things that are not on the happy hour, and they make money that way.
Right. Well, that's the theory.
You know,
I don't think it.
Or you could be with a group of people, and like, I'm definitely not drinking happy hour drinks. It's usually just fruit juice and sugary contents and very little alcohol.
Again, I'm just saying, as a consumer, I like it, but as a business owner, it's just not something I ever really bought into. My past restaurants always had happy hour, but a couple small bites, but that was about it. I never invested heavily into it. So, all right, buddy. Well,
what else you got?
I have a couple more clips. One of which, let's change this screen. This clip was sent to me by Amy Ernst. She knows me well. Amy Ernst is one of the managers at my shop. Mm-hmm. She also assists us with some small things here and there. Okay. And I thought you would like this too.
Okay, you know I love this and I would eat it. But my first impression is, that's how we burn. That's what we look like.
That's what we look like if we were to get cooked.
Yeah.
Mm.
A big pizza like that is a little too much.
Yeah. Now,
I would totally eat the fuck out of that, though.
Did you just fat shame us?
Fat shame us?
Yeah. I think you fat shamed us. You look like a, that you're implying that we look like this pig when
if we're cooked. Cook a human body, that's the result.
Oh, right, right. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It's
don't ask me why I know this.
Yeah. All right. And then
I have a sister who works in the ER.
Oh man. Nurses, like people who work in the ER see some shit. Holy fuck. Yeah.
Out of anal cavity searches.
A lot of tips. A lot of tips.
So I had a friend. And he, as on the road to becoming a doctor, you have to pay your dues in the emergency room.
Right.
And you have to do large stints and you have to do graveyard shifts and nothing good happens after midnight, right?
Yeah.
And I would ask him, what's the worst, what's the most common thing that happens? Is it gunshot wounds? Is it fights? And he says, no, reattaching penises. I was like, what the fuck?
What?
Yeah. That's what, like
that happens often enough?
Too often, he says. Yep.
Oh, I guess like a cheating people don't husband talk about or it. Yeah.
You know?
Holy fuck.
Yeah. But then again, this question was posed during the 90s, 80s and late, no, 90s. Mm-hmm. So maybe, hopefully, things have changed. now it's, cavity extractions.
Oh, gosh. All right, buddy. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
I swear to God, I tripped and I fell on it. Yeah. Just a tip. I thought it was just a tip.
Wait till next week when we show you more of Just the Tip, Jacques.
Yes.
Yes.
Just a tip. Jacques. Just a tip.
All right, buddy. This is all the time we have for
today.
Wait,
no comments?
No questions today.
No questions? No,
because I just posted today, so we have questions for next week.
Oh, but that's my favorite part.
I know it's your favorite part. But
and you had none of it?
I don't.
Okay, you ask me a question.
You want me to ask you a question?
Yeah, ask me a question.
Okay. Now you put me on the spot. I don't know what to ask you.
We have editing. Don't worry. Yeah. Think about it. Okay. See you guys next week.
Put me on the fucking spot.
You don't have anything?
I don't have anything. And now I feel like it's forced.
Yeah, now it's forced. So
it's forced.
Now we quit.
No.
And now everybody's like left wanting.
Yeah. Oh, there is one story that I think you should tell.
Which one?
Which is the day when your first day of work and what slammed next to you as you got out of
my first day coming to work here?
Yeah. What slammed next to you as you got out of the subway?
A body. a body was thrown off a roof and smacked.
By some gangsters or something?
Oh, he got thrown off the roof.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And how old were you?
I was... 12, summer of 12. I was going to be 13 in July. So it was like that end of school year.
Yeah. And this was in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. It was right here. It was right here. I was coming here.
Did you cry? Did you like freak
out? No, I was like, the impact, his lungs came out of his mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like trying to figure out what that was.
Right, right.
Because I'd never seen something like
that. That's what you were wondering when you
saw it. I was looking at it trying to figure out what that was.
Yeah. You guys heard it here first. And Frenchie is questioning life's
most serious questions. And that's not my only story of somebody being thrown off a building.
You have another one?
I got three more.
Oh, jeez.
Two from this building right next door. And one on 86th Street.
Well, are you going to tell any of them?
The one on 86th Street?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a little bit of a Debbie Downer.
Oh, is it?
All right.
Maybe let's not Debbie Down today.
No, but it's
our hour's up. We got more stuff to film.
Oh.
Yes.
It's an interesting story, though.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to save it for the next pod?
We'll save it for the next one.
Let us know in the comments if you guys want to hear this next on the next pod.
I'm thinking of the meth head who fell out of this building twice. That's a good story.
Well, all right. Are you able to share it?
The other one's a better one, but this one was just hilarious. It's like a crackhead who used to live in this building, and he used to live with his lover.
Yeah.
And his lover threw him out the window twice, and he survived because there was an awning in the front, and he fell on the awning. So he survived that one. And then he
come
went
to Lower Bronx, 340 West 46th Street
was in the heart of it. This was the 80s. But he went back and he got thrown out again.
Wait, the same, like,
by the same
within
couple.
The same day?
No, this was like after.
Jesus Christ. And the awning survived both times?
Oh, yeah. Awnings are pretty... Yeah, but it's pliable enough. I mean, the awning had to be replaced,
but
it saved his life twice.
All right, everybody. Well, you know, you want to see some action, come to Le Ravage in the heart of New York, Times Square.
Yes. Hell's Seen Kitchen. A lot of dead bodies in Hell's Kitchen. Yes.
All right, well, that is all the time we have for today because we got some more stuff to do, buddy. But good to see you. We had so much fun in LA.
Yes, we did.
And we definitely got to do more of those.
You had more fun. I was a little under the weather.
Oh, yes, you were under the weather.
But I pulled it together,
you
right?
You did pull it through. You were not being a little bitch.
No, I don't want no beach. No beach.
You are no beach.
No.
Okay, guys, hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did making it. Remember, don't be afraid to fail because it can only make you stronger. With that said, I'm Chef Ryan Sal, not your typical chef.
Au revoir, merci. Don't forget to subscribe.
We'll see you really soon. Bye.